WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Happy Wednesday to you. Welcome in to a new day here on the program. Hope yours is starting off well, even though it's a little muggy out there and warm, and it's going to be like that for the next couple of days. So the good news is I've been watching the forecast. Although they're saying, you know, the chance of rain tomorrow, it's low percentage, which means we should be able to have 50s night without a hitch. But if anything changes with that, we will let you know. Again, I checked in with Scott Pemberton the other day to make sure that it was still on, and he said it is. And if anything changes, he'll let us know ASAP. But looks like we're a go. And we're already locked in to play the music anyway. So the music is playing tomorrow night, no matter what. 3 to midnight right here on WBSM. We'll have all hits from the 50s, nothing else. The only commercials we'll be running are from the great sponsors who are making this happen. And we will have the songs that you know and love, some ones that you might have forgotten about, a few fun novelty songs thrown in. Should be a great time. I won't be down there for 50s night, but we're going to have Matt and Sierra down there, our street teamers. So you can stop by, and we are going to be giving away tickets to see the Doobie Brothers. So just come on by the WBSM tent tomorrow night during 50s night. They'll have a QR code there for you to scan, and that will allow you to enter to win a pair of tickets to see the Doobie Brothers. So, I don't know if you're going to get all 50s'd up. You know, if you're going to put on your leather jacket when it's going to be hot and humid. But if you do, make sure you get some photos. Have Matt and Sarah take some photos. And we'll put them up on the WBSM socials. There's a lot that we can talk about today. A little bit later on, we're going to be joined by Kelly from Stevie's Wine and Spirits for a few moments. She's going to tell us about the upcoming big summer tasting that's happening on Saturday from 1 to 4. So we'll get into all that with her a little bit later on. Of course, we'll have today's edition of the Gen X Files for you, too. It's a little bit of a downer. There's some somber things that happened on this date, but we'll get into all that later on after the 7:30 news. So there's plenty of things that we can talk about today, but very quickly, I want to mention a couple of things. One, there's an article at WBSM.com and on the app. If you are an older person or really anybody that is not, you don't feel like you're technologically savvy enough to, you know, use the computer, to use a smartphone or a tablet. If you've struggled with, maybe you have one of those devices, but or a laptop, and you've struggled with some of the basic programs that people tell you, oh, well, you know, we'll just put it in Microsoft Teams and we'll have a meeting. Well, I don't know how to do any of that. The city of New Bedford is going to be offering some free courses paid for by a grant that will allow for, it's going to be happening at the Council on Aging. So there's obviously, you know, it's geared toward seniors, but it's really open to anybody. Now, New Bedford residents will get first priority, of course, but it's really open to anybody who needs some help with basic computer literacy. And all the details about how to sign up, I know this sounds silly, is on WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. You might be saying, well, Tim, how can I go there if I don't know how to do any of this stuff? But there's a phone number that you can call for the Council on Aging as well. And if anybody needs that, just call me and I'll give it out. Give me a call here, 508-996-0500. And I'll give you that number because, you know, we want to make sure that everybody that's the state of the world today. And some of you may be able to, you know, use your smartphone and the WBSM app to be able to get news and weather and traffic and podcasts. Some of you may be able to even, you know, surf the web and find other things, but there's so much more that you can do with the computer. And that's what these courses are designed to teach you. And again, it won't cost you anything. It's paid for by a grant that comes from MassTech. And there's going to be numerous classes available now through next spring. So 10 months worth of classes. You don't go to every class. They're just going to be offering it multiple times. I remember the first computer course, you know, the first time I learned to use a computer was first grade. And we had, I don't even know what kind of computer it was. I would assume probably an Apple. But we had a program called Logo. And it was the little, looked like a home plate icon on the screen. They called it the turtle. And you basically just typed in the commands to make the turtle draw lines. And that's what we learned first on a computer. That was the first thing I ever did programming-wise on a computer. Prior to that, I just used a computer to play video games. We had a Texas Instruments computer that I won in a raffle that I was able to play like Pac-Man and Space Invaders on, but I didn't know how to do anything else with it. And then I'm trying to think of when I probably use a computer next. I don't think I really got into using them on a regular basis until eighth grade when they taught us basic word processing using a program called Bank Street Writer. And then my freshman year, they had everybody take a typing course on electric typewriters so that you'd learn, you know, how to type. And then 10th grade, we took data processing. And that's where we learned different programs. But even then, didn't really learn everything that we could. I didn't even go on the internet until I was a senior in high school. And even that was only going into like the Library of Congress card catalog. Oh, look what I can find. Like it doesn't, you couldn't do anything with it, but it was still pretty amazing. And then freshman year of college, I would go to the computer lab in the basement of the UMass library and surf the web. So go to websites for bands and for WWF at the time and things like that. And then I think it was the end of freshman year, I went and got a computer from Rainbow Rentals. Because I couldn't afford a computer. So I went to Rainbow Rentals and I got one that I paid like $20 a week for and got on AOL and been using one pretty much every day since. But if you need the help and the training to be able to incorporate that into your life, these classes will do that. Also, another thing that I wanted to mention yesterday, and I'm hoping, I meant to reach out to him last night and see if he could pop on the show. And Aaron, if you're listening, you know, shoot me a text. But Aaron Cadieux, who is working on the New Bedford Highway Murders documentary, and it's still in the process. I know people have said, well, he's been saying for years this documentary has been going to come out. I know, but it's something that he does in, I don't want to say his free time because he's always so busy with his media company, but it's something that he works in his off hours. And also, you know, there's all kinds of things involved in a production like this and clearing rights and getting investors and distribution and all of that. But he's working on finishing it up very soon. And he has started a new Facebook group, a public Facebook group, that if you are interested in the New Bedford Highway murders, if you are connected to them, you know, if you have a family member who was one of the victims, or if you just are a true crime person that wants to follow along with the discussions and the latest developments, he started this Facebook group for all of you to come together and talk about it, and for him to give you updates about the documentary, which is a multi-part. It's actually, I'd use the term docu-series. And I saw it in some of its early forms, and I was blown away by what he had put together. So then I know that they took a slightly different narrative approach, and they've been tweaking it over the years. And I probably haven't seen footage in a couple of years of it, but this is going to be very big and hopefully help in trying to solve those murders. Or at least get it back in the forefront of people's minds and maybe get some new leads for the investigators. So one of the other, speaking of crime, and I guess it all depends on how you look at what went down yesterday in Fall River. There's a lot of folks who are very upset, beyond just the family member of the man who was shot, but a lot of folks are very upset with the way the Fall River Police handled the situation yesterday with a person in crisis, in a mental health crisis, who was reportedly suicidal, who had guns, and who shot at police officers when they entered his home, and then they fired back. The man suffered a gunshot wound to the head and ended up passing away in the hospital. 38-year-old Dominic Knight. And I watched the video. I mean, I understand why people might be upset that, you know, they look at this as saying there should have been more attempts at de-escalation. But the moment the police walk through the door, you know, you see the man start shooting at them. And then obviously they have no choice but to return fire. I don't think they were aiming. I don't think they were walking through the door ready to shoot. I think that they, well, I mean, obviously they've got to be prepared, but I don't think that was their intention. But he fired upon them. And folks are saying, well, you know, they only tried de-escalation for an hour. No, they tried to communicate for an hour. They weren't getting communication. There's a difference if you have a communication going and you're able to get an idea of the person's mindset, and if you can talk them down, and they had a trained crisis negotiator on the scene, you know, you would think if you've got that ongoing conversation, you can de-escalate and talk the person down. They couldn't even reach him. He would not even respond. So they don't even know at this point if he has taken his own life in a different way. Also, this is a home that is, you know, in a residential area, and you don't know what this person's going to do if they are distraught. So, you know, they've got to think about the safety of others around them as well. So, yeah, they made the decision to breach the door, and he made the decision to fire at them. So there will be details will come out. There is an investigation now ongoing. The DA's office looks into any officer-involved shooting like this and will give a report at some point. But, if you look at the Fall River Police Department's Facebook post, hundreds of comments. And it's kind of split down the middle of people that think the police did the right thing and they acted the best way they could, and others who say they were too quick to take this man down. You can watch the video for yourself and decide. It's in the story at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. We can talk about it, 508-996-0500. Right now, though, I've got to take a break. We'll be back in a few moments.
Pam Bondi brushing off questions about Jeffrey Epstein, President Trump sending out more tariff letters, and the National Guard set to leave Los Angeles.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Attorney General Pam Bondi brushing off questions about Jeffrey Epstein.
Nothing about Epstein. Not going to talk about Epstein.
Bondi spoke at a news conference yesterday, saying the focus was on fentanyl overdoses and families who have lost loved ones to the drug. Bondi's been on the defensive since the Justice Department announced it would not release any more information about the case. Florida health officials are reporting 4 deaths this year from a rare but dangerous flesh-eating bacteria found in a mixture of warm seawater and river water and water with raw seafood. Officials say the bacteria can infect open wounds or be contracted through undercooked shellfish. The state has confirmed 11 cases so far in 2025, and while infections are uncommon, they can become life-threatening if not treated quickly. Last year, the Tampa Bay area saw a spike in cases following Hurricane Helene. President Trump says more letters are going out to countries announcing that tariffs are going into effect soon unless trade deals are struck. Trump told reporters at Joint Base Andrews that he'll probably have a flat 10% tariff for countries.
Don't forget, we'll be releasing a letter soon talking about many countries that are much smaller.
2,000 California National Guard members that were deployed to Los Angeles last month have been recalled. The Pentagon made the announcement yesterday with Chief Pentagon spokesman Sean Parnell saying in a statement that the lawlessness in Los Angeles is subsiding. The troops were deployed to protect federal buildings and personnel following protests against ICE operations in L.A. Medical debt will remain on credit reports after a federal judge vacated a Biden-era rule.
The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau rule would have removed the debt. However, the judge found that the rule exceeded the Bureau's authority under the Fair Credit Reporting Act. An estimated $49 billion in medical bills would have been removed from the credit reports of about 15 million people. It would have also banned lenders from using certain medical information in loan decisions. I'm Matt Mattinson.
A House hearing on the future of weather forecasting could get heated today. The hearing is billed an examination of how new technologies can improve weather data collection and forecasting accuracy to save lives. But the deadly flash flooding in Texas has some Democrats asking if cuts to the National Weather Service hurt early warning capabilities. Los Angeles 2028 Olympics organizers are releasing its schedule of events.
When the Olympics begin on July 14th, 2028, they'll begin with track and field instead of swimming, which has been the tradition. That will ensure there's enough time to build an indoor pool after the opening ceremony at SoFi Stadium. There are a number of events that kick off 2 days before the opening ceremony, including soccer, basketball, cricket, field hockey, handball, rugby, and water polo. That's the largest number of sports to start before the opening ceremony since the 1920 games in Belgium. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
WBSM Sports.
The Connecticut Sun might be moving to Providence. Multiple reports say a new owner is considering buying the Sun and moving the WNBA franchise to Providence. Governor Dan McKee recently led a meeting and tour of the Amica Mutual Pavilion, the Connecticut Sun, currently owned by the Mohican Tribe, which purchased the franchise in 2003 and moved the team from Orlando. Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever beat the Connecticut Sun at TD Garden last night, 85-77. The 2025 All-Star Game was played in Atlanta last night. National League and the American League were tied 6-6 after 9 innings. The game went into a home run derby-style swing-off where the National League pulled through to win. The Red Sox will be back in action taking on the Cubs in Chicago on Friday afternoon.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Good morning. We're waking up to temperatures in the low and mid-70s. A mild morning, even warm here for the South Coast. And as we move into the afternoon, Warm is not even going to cut it. We have to call it just plain hot because that's what it's going to be today, with temperatures in the low 80s for the coast. But as soon as you head inland, it's going to build and build, and we get to the mid and upper 80s by the afternoon. With the humidity and the sun angle, it'll feel like we are in the mid to upper 90s by this afternoon. That's why we still have that heat advisory in effect. That's going to last, by the way, till Thursday at 7 p.m. So keep that in mind, plan accordingly, and don't forget to drink plenty of water. Really important to hydrate on days like this. Now, we're also looking out for the potential of a pop-up shower this afternoon, but chances are pretty slim. Most of the day stays dry, relatively sunny, and again, just super hot. I'm ABC6 Chief Meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
Welcome back. And I think it was many, many years before I realized that line was even in your thoughts. I was like, I have no idea what they're saying. And I never bothered to look it up. Anyway, 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We can talk about this situation in Fall River with the standoff that ended with a man being shot. Also, the continued updates on the Gabriel House fire. Yesterday, the fire chief, Jeffrey Bacon, gave an update and mentioned that he had requested more personnel for the fire department from the Coogan administration. And now this is, you know, the mayor took exception. Mayor Coogan took exception to the politicizing of this in his characterization of it, that, you know, you've had the fire union, both at the local and national level, condemning the way that the Fall River Fire Department has been staffed, and the mayor trying to say, you know, this isn't the time for that, but they're making it the time for that because you don't want this to have to happen again. Now, I think this was amalgamation, is that the word I'm looking for? But, you know, a combination of many different factors that led to such tragedy. So you could say, yes, not having enough firefighters would be enough. The fire chief said he wanted 4 firefighters for every apparatus, and I guess they only had 3. But at the same time, they've also said that they don't think that having more firefighters on the scene would have saved more lives. They also are looking into the sprinkler system in the building, as well as, you know, numerous other parts of the investigation, but it had a sprinkler system. Was there a problem with that sprinkler system? Or did this fire start in an area where there wasn't sufficient fire suppression measures? So that'll be part of the investigation. There's a lot going on. In the meantime, in addition to the 9 people who have perished in the fire already, there was some reporting, I think it was WPRI had the story, where there's another victim who suffered burns all over her body, who is currently hospitalized, but only has about a 10% chance of surviving. So obviously we hope that the odds don't matter and she ends up pulling through. But as her family said, you know, they don't know if this suffering is worth it for her, especially considering how badly she's burned. The medical personnel said that it was the worst burns they've ever seen. So again, not, you know, hopefully things work out the way that the family feels is best for her, but that could be a 10th victim of this fire. I don't know about the medical status of any of the other 30 or so people that were hospitalized, taken to the hospital, but there's still a number of residents of the Gabriel House who have been displaced, and they're keeping them in another facility for right now and trying to get them a more permanent place to stay. But there are numerous drives that are happening for folks to donate clothing and essentials and other items that these folks need. And one of them, as I mentioned yesterday, one of my friends from high school, it was her grandmother was one of the victims. And even though her family is dealing with this tragic loss, they are also, they've hit the ground running, pushing for donations to help the folks who were displaced by this fire. And that's just the kind of person that she is and that her family are. So, you know, they're going to take tragedy and still try and find a way to help. So that's going to be, you know, the plan right now, according to the city of Fall River yesterday, would be that they're going to have daily updates from the fire chief every day at 1 p.m. So for at least, I'm sure, the next few days, we'll get daily updates. The office of the state fire marshal is investigating the cause. They will give us that report as soon as they have it completed. But there's staff members who have called into question how safe the building might have been. It did pass its inspection after they had a number of violations, a number of things that need to be corrected, but then they were corrected, apparently. So the investigators are going to get all of those files. The media has been also gathering these. WPRI's investigative team has been all over this. But they're getting met with resistance in getting some of those documents from the city. So there's a lot of questions that still need to be answered. We had a couple of stories posted on WBSM.com and the WBSM app from the Associated Press yesterday that kind of gives a layout of what we know at this time. I'm sure when Mayor Mitchell comes on with Chris this morning at 11 o'clock, I'm sure they'll discuss, you know, New Bedford fire staffing, because the mayor is now saying that as part of his austerity measures, there may be fire station brownouts. Tomorrow night will be the city council meeting in which his supplemental budget items have all been filed. Looking to restore the money for the schools, for the Zeiterion, for the trash contract, and more. And so tomorrow the council will take up those matters. And I guess, you know, when it comes, so let's leave the Zeiterion over here for right now, because a lot of people who are listening to this broadcast, you know, I know a lot of you don't want to see the city giving money to the Zeiterion for operations, for the support agreement. And we'll also leave over there the fact that they're contractually obligated to do that because they signed a contract. The city council approved it. So they are contractually obligated to make these payments. But let's leave that over there for now. The money gets restored to the schools, the trash contract, everything else that was taken out. How do you feel about the cut night process? Do you feel then that it's just political theater if the council makes these cuts and then goes and restores the money? I mean, there's intricacies to it of, you know, we don't want you to take the money from here. It'd be better if you took it from there. But the council can't direct the money. They can't say to do that. So if the cut gets that end result for them, you know, in a roundabout way, they were able to get that done. But I'm sure the mayor will talk more at length about that. And, you know, we'll get his reaction to the war of words between himself and the council president. Well, I shouldn't say war of words because I think it's mostly coming from Council President Burgo. He called the mayor a liar. There's also something about the longevity pay in the meeting for Thursday. A motion filed by Councilor at Large Brian Gomes that I will read to you when we come back from this break. We'll be back in just a few moments. Welcome back in. Most people don't know this, but that was actually me singing on that song. Milli Vanilli was lip syncing to my vocals, which was pretty impressive considering I was 10 years old and I had a deeper voice then apparently than I do now. Anyway, 508-996-0500. Let's take a call here and then I'll read to you that motion that was filed. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hey, my friend.
How you doing?
Doing a little connection to the Fall River fire. So one of the things that I started to see like a day and a half ago was, so the ownership there cut a deal with the state within the last year and a half for $950,000 in kickbacks. So there's an issue. There's been supposed sexual harassment and other flaws and violations that even though they passed, there's been some medical and safety issues not reported, but now they're coming up. Something like this happens, just like we had 27 years ago in New Bedford on State Street behind the car barn, where a mother, father, and three children died, and new standards were set for the state level, just like Rhode Island with the Station nightclub fire. So hopefully something good can come from this down the road. But right now, it's everybody making, some people making accusations and suffering, and it's kind of crazy and ugly.
Yeah, and I think part of it is, you know, this is just the beginning of the investigation, too. Who knows exactly what will get turned up. Is this is just the stuff that, you know, reporters have been able to find. Let's see what happens when the state fire marshal's office is digging in further.
Yeah, and at the time, I was with the Red Cross. I was a disaster team captain. I was on scene. I was part of some of the reporting. I went and testified to some of the things. Because looks like we were there while the building was still burning and calling up on families and different things. And it was an experience, and then inevitably I walked away because I was burnt out. But now on another more important note, you being the foodie you are, I am surprised you've gone this long. Today is National Hot Dog Day, my brother. I cannot believe you did not bring it out.
Plus, I formally
you have a hot dog sponsor.
I formally requested that they move National Hot Dog Day to Friday so it could be Fun Fridays and coincide with D's Hot Dogs, but they denied me. The National Day calendar people said no.
Oh. So you were trying to make a move. All right, so... So you're keeping that behind the scenes. Okay.
Doing what I can.
I was figuring that out. But support your local small business person and go out and have some hot dogs today and enjoy.
Absolutely. All right. You have a good day.
Have a good one.
Yeah. No matter where you get your hot dogs from, go out and get them today. But I would recommend D's Hot Dogs. They've got the mac and cheese dog that they posted up on social media yesterday. It looks so good with the chopped bacon on it. That's how I like it. Add the bacon. Let me just read this motion really quick for you, and then I got to take a break. So this written motion by Councilor Gomes requesting that the Committee on Internal Affairs meet with the City Solicitor, the Treasurer Collector, Chief Financial Officer, and Personnel Director, along with the City Council's legal representative, for the purpose of discussing longevity payments and how this type of payment was implemented, and further requesting that the Treasurer Collector provide the Committee on Internal Affairs with records for the last 50 years of longevity payments for elected officials. And further, that WBSM talk show host Chris McCarthy be invited to said meeting to discuss his allegations and alleged proof of corruption within the City Council on this issue. And then it says to be referred to the Committee on Internal Affairs. So we can talk more about that. But, I mean, Chris's allegations aren't allegations. They're facts. They're counselor's own words. He's playing the audio clips. Councilor Morehead said that they've been paid for 100 years, which I think is, you know, just an exaggeration. But still, like, she's talking about how they've been paid for a long time. It's not an accusation. But anyway, we can get into that too. 508-996-0500. But I've got to get this break in. We will be right back. All right, we are going to be going into the news in just a moment. We'll have your ABC News and then South Coast News with Mike Roberts. On the other side of that, we can talk 508-996-0500. After the 7:30 news, we will have today's edition of the Gen X Files brought to you by McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream in Fairhaven. And we'll have later on in the program, Kelly from